Okay, well, let's come to God's word this morning. We've been beginning to go through the book of Genesis. And if I were to ask you, why is it important to study the book of Genesis? Okay, essentially, if you look at the entire Bible, all the 66 books, there are two themes running. One theme is, what has gone wrong with our world? What has gone wrong with our world? And the second theme is, it tells us, how can we put it right? And so the book of Genesis tells us what the problem is, why it happened, and then the rest of the Bible tells us about how God is going to put it right by rescuing sinful humanity. So the book of Genesis is vital because it sets the stage and the cast prior to the great drama. And without the first few chapters of Genesis, the rest of the Bible would make little sense. So the book of Genesis is a foundational book. If you have not yet read it yet, I would encourage each and every one of you to read it. You know, all the other biblical truths that we find in the rest of the Bible are found in Genesis in at least embryo form. It's the book, it's a key that unlocks the rest of the Bible. We learn that there's one God, he's the creator of the universe. We are told about the nations of the world and how Israel has been chosen for a special blessing. Now, think about it. If you didn't have the book of Genesis and you opened in the book open to Exodus, and that's where you started reading the Bible, you'd be wondering, you know, why would we be interested in a bunch of Jewish slaves in Egypt? What's this all about? It is only when we go through Genesis and we learn about Abraham, who we've been going through, who we've been studying about, do we realize that these slaves in Egypt were descendants of Abraham. And that God made a promise to Abraham that all nations would be blessed through him and through his line. And knowing this, we can appreciate Exodus and the rest of the Bible. Last week, we were served wonderfully by Abhishek and Debbie, who covered a little bit about the call of Abraham, how he was called, and how he left Ur and Haran and then moved to the promised land where God called him. Today, we're going to take that a little bit further. Okay, so if you would turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. And today, we're going to look at three things about the life of Abraham. Right, we're going to continue to go deeper into the life of Abraham. Now, you know, we may think these are stories or these are just narratives, but God wanted to communicate truth to us, and he didn't give us a set of propositions. He communicated his truth to us through the lives of men and women in the Bible, like Abraham and others, and they are given to us in story form. So there is much power even as we listen to these narratives or stories. So let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the book of Genesis, which is such a foundational book, which tells us about the beginnings and the origins of everything. Lord, I pray that as I proclaim your word this morning, your anointing would be upon me, that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word and build us up. In Jesus' name, amen. So in Genesis chapter 12, and even a little before that, in chapter 11, we see that God's favor is upon Abraham. So that's my first point. God's favor is upon Abraham. Who was Abraham? Where was he? As we were reminded last week, he was brought up, or he grew up in Ur, in Mesopotamia. And if you know the times, Mesopotamia at that time was fertile, it was rich, it was developed, it was prosperous, it was one of the top cities in the world. Okay, so imagine Abraham living in today's world-class cities, London, New York, all these big developed cities. That's where Abraham was from. And God calls him, as we heard last week, and says, I want you to, and it's there. In chapter 12, verse 1, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. And so God is saying, listen, I want you to leave your life of security. I want to leave I want you to leave your family and everything you have there, and I want you to go to a place I will show you. And as we saw last week, that God's favor was upon Abraham. Why did God choose Abraham? Was it because there was something special about him? You know, in fact, the Bible tells us just the opposite. God chooses people not because there's something good in them. Okay, God says, I will choose who I choose. I'll have mercy whom I will have mercy on. In fact, in Joshua chapter 24, the Bible tells us about Abraham and his descendants. What were they like? You know, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 2, Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your forefathers," like it's talking to the Jews and saying, "Listen, you guys, you're descended from Abraham, but your forefathers," and he's saying, including Terah, not just Abraham, but Abraham's father as well. "The father of Abraham and Noah lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods." So Abraham came from a family background where they were moon worshippers, idolaters. And God's favor and grace, he just chose Abraham, was upon him. Doesn't say there was anything special about him, but he called him and he said, "I want you to leave your family, leave your father's house and go to the place I sent you." So God's favor was upon Abraham. And one of the wonderful things about the Bible is it just doesn't talk about the heroes and just, you know, show all the good things about them, but it records even their failures. Okay, and we look at that this morning. So let's look at the blessing and the favor of God upon Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, the Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's house, and go to the land I will show you." And here is the great blessing that God promises Abraham. He says, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." This is the amazing blessing that God promises Abraham. And there's one more blessing in verse 7 of Genesis chapter 12. It says, "The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, 'To your offspring, I will give this land.'" This is when he had moved to Canaan. Okay. So there's an amazing blessing upon the life of Abraham. Now, you may be saying, "Great. God promised to bless Abraham. But what is that to do with me? What is that to do with me today in 2020? Well, if you turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, it says this in verse 14. Okay, it says, "He redeemed us," that's Jesus Christ redeemed us, "in order that the blessing given to Abraham," what blessing? It's talking about this blessing. "Given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles." The Gentiles are you and myself, you and I. "Might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit." Okay, this is the link now. Many thousands of years ago, God said to Abraham, "I will bless you. I'll do all these great things to you." That's wonderful. That's history. But what does that to do with me as a believer in Jesus today? Well, Galatians 3:15-14 is the link. He redeemed us. Jesus is the link. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. And this blessing that is here is a huge blessing. It's amazing if you look at it and see how it is fulfilled in the life of Abraham, okay, and in our lives. First of all, it says, "I will make you into a great nation." Now, think about it. Abraham was rich, but he didn't have any children. It was he and Sarai. They were old and no kids. Yet God says, "I'm going to make you into a great nation." In time, we saw that the nation of Israel came into being, you know, not through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, who became Israel, and it is a great nation. How does it apply to us? We are part of a great nation, which is, we are part of God's family. We are citizens of heaven. Wow, you know, all this is going to pass away, but one day we will be in heaven with people from every tribe, every language, okay, every region will be represented before the throne of the Lamb. We, you and I, are part of this great nation that will last through all eternity. Secondly, it says that I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. Here's God's promise of blessing to Abraham. And it talks about temporal blessings and it talks about spiritual blessings. And we see that, we see the blessing of Abraham. Look at verse 5. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan where they arrived. Okay, here it talks about Abraham already being wealthy. And if you look through Genesis further, you see Abraham grew even more wealthy. So there were temporal blessings, but there was also spiritual blessings that came upon Abraham. It was through him that, you know, as we see later, Jesus came into being. So I will bless you. And by blessing, it was protection, it was peace, it was good relationships. All these things fit in there. For us this morning, yeah, we can also receive this promise into our lives and say, Lord, bless me. Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. John 10:10, Jesus says, I've come to give you life and life in all its abundance. So, my friends, this morning, you too can receive this blessing that was promised to Abraham. Okay. You know, as I was preparing this, I thought, you know, when there's a will being read, you know the saying, when there is a will, there is, anybody know the continuation of that? When there is a will, there is a
way.
But really, the other version of this is, where there is a will, there are relatives.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like this. So there's a will, there are relatives, and people are saying, what am I going to get? Now, I want to tell you, this is a will in that sense. Okay, these blessings have been given to you, and they've been given to me, because we have put our faith in Jesus. Okay, and we can receive these blessings. Okay, so there's temporal blessings, there's spiritual blessings. Then I will make your name great. Now think about Abraham. Had he continued to live in Ur or in Haran, we would not have heard about him. But today, 4,000 years after he died, I mean, you know, people die and people forget about them. They don't remember them. But 4,000 years after Abraham died, the Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims consider him the father of your faith. Isn't that amazing? You see how God took him from obscurity and made him famous. Yeah, three of the major religions in the world revere and honor Abraham. Had he continued and said, no, Lord, I'll just stay in Ur or in Haran, nobody would have heard of him. And you will be a blessing. And then he says, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. Now, this is an amazing, amazing promise where God says, Abraham, I'm going to so tie myself with you that if anybody blesses you, they will see my blessing. And if anybody curses you, they will see harm come to them. All right? And so this is such a precious, precious promise that we can hold on to and protection. He says, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. And so this blessing is not just for ourselves, but it is that we might be a blessing to the rest of the earth. You know, and God's plan was that through Abraham and through his descendants, the Messiah will be born. And that is Jesus. And through the coming of Jesus, all the nations will be blessed. Okay? So that was the plan. Now, let's continue and see. So we see God's favor upon Abraham in choosing him. Just as God chose Abraham, God chose you. God chose me. not because of anything good in us, but because of His mercy and grace. Just as God promised this amazing covenant of blessing to Abraham, you and I can also take hold of this and say, Lord, do it in my life. Not because I deserve it, but because of Jesus. Because Jesus died on the cross. That's what qualifies us. Okay. Now, great. God's favor on Abraham. And now we see Abraham's faith in God. Second thing. And this is what verse 4. So Abraham left as the Lord had told him. One of the things about Abraham is he obeyed God. Now, moving from Ur or Haran is like moving from New York to Siberia or to the Sahara Desert. Okay? So it wasn't going to a better place. It was going to a worse off place. And Abraham said, I'm willing to move. He had faith in God and says that Abraham left. And Abraham is an amazing man of faith. As we go through the rest of the scriptures, we'll see that at different times, you know, for example, God told Abraham, covenant of circumcision, get circumcised. He said the next day, Abraham immediately went and did it. God said, take your son Isaac, sacrifice him. The next day, Abraham gets up, takes his son and goes in. So one of the things we can learn about Abraham, he was quick to obey God most of the time. All right, he was quick to obey God most of the time. All right, so he left as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. You know, so here we see, you know, possibly a failure on the part of Abraham, because God had told Abraham to say, leave your country, your people, and your father's household and go. And you see what came with Abraham? Lot. Yeah. And really, Lot was not a blessing to Abraham. Because Lot's problems. Okay, so we see Abraham was not perfect. Now, we don't know why Lot went with him. Maybe Abraham felt responsible for him. I don't know, but that was the issue. Okay, verse 6. Abraham traveled through the land that's in Canaan as far as the great side of the tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Okay, we'll come to that. The Lord, verse 7, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Okay, two things we see here. Number one is Abraham obeyed and went, but as he obeyed and went, he had an encounter with God. He worshiped the true and the living God. And it says that the Canaanites were in the land. What's the significance of that? You see, the Canaanites were an idolatrous, wicked people. So in spite of the idolatry in the land, Abraham says, I will worship the true and the living God. And it's the same thing for us. We can be in a land as Abraham was in Canaan, full of people worshiping idols. He was the only true believer, but he says, Lord, I am going to worship you. I'm not going to join the majority. Today, you and I have that same voice. We can be a minority, but what's important is we are worshiping the true and living God. And we see that Abraham continues with the worship. From there, he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent there. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abraham set out and continued to the Negev. So just in a few verses, we see twice Abraham's heart of worship. You know, in the gyms, we're doing the study on abiding in Christ, John 15. And I want to urge each one of us, will we spend time in God's presence, in His Word, in worship? You know, we've got opportunities now to fast next week. Yeah, we've got opportunities to pray. Friends, let's be like Abraham, who did not get influenced by the world around him, but who said, I'm going to worship the true and the living God. Will we do that? So we see Abraham's faith. He met with God powerfully. And we move on now to the main portion I'd like to get into is Abraham's failure and God's grace. Okay. So remember, God called Abraham out of Haran, out of Ur, to go to Canaan. Now, You know, when and Abraham obeyed, wonderful. But whenever we obey the call of God or the word of God, there will be trials, there will be testing, and Abraham was tested here. Imagine, it's verse 7, the Lord appeared. People say that that's, you know, that's a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ Jesus. Wow, he had such a powerful encounter with God. It was a mountaintop encounter. But in verse 10, his faith was tested. Now, there was a famine in the land. Famine in the land. Abraham could have said, Lord, you've called me. I was living happily in Ur and in Haran. I was doing well there. And you've called me to Canaan. I obeyed you. You brought me here. Lord, now there's famine in the land. What do you want me to do? Now, what's interesting is this is what Abraham did. He says, and Abraham went down there to live for a little while because the famine was severe. Okay. In the next few verses, we don't see anything about Abraham seeking God. Okay? So it seems like, you know, Abraham took a decision on his own to say, okay, there's famine here, let's go down to Egypt. But really, his God had called him to Canaan. And as he goes down to Egypt, he has a problem. Okay? His wife Sarah, who was probably 65 years or so old, was a very beautiful woman. And he said, you know, when we go to this land, he says, when the Egyptians see you, they will kill me and they will let you live. So he told his wife, listen, when we meet people, you know, don't say, I'm Abraham, this is my wife Sarah. Say, I'm Abraham, this is my sister Sarah. Okay? And that's what Abraham did. So he says, say you are my sister so that I will be treated well for your sake and my life will be spared because of you. And so that's the amazing thing about the Bible. We're writing about Abraham. Three times it's mentioned, he is the friend of God. He's the father of all who believe. He's so exalted. But his weaknesses and his shortcomings are also recorded. And they're an example for us that in spite of his shortcomings, Abraham is still honored. And that for us as well, when we fail, and we will fail, you know, God is a God of grace who doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, but will pour out his grace even in that situation. We'll see how God poured out his grace. Okay, so this is it. So Sarah, I want you to tell a lie. Okay, I'm also going to tell the lie, and I'm not going to stay in Canaan, but I'm going to go to Egypt. So that's what he did. So see what happens in verse 14. When Abraham came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that she was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. All right. So this is what happened. You know, Pharaoh was the king. He could do what he wanted. And he saw this beautiful woman, and he says, I want her as my wife. And he treated Abraham well for her sake. Now, this is the amazing thing. In the midst of Abraham going down to Egypt, not seeking God on that, lying about his wife, and all that happened, you know what God does? See the next verse. Verse 16 talks about Pharaoh treated Abraham well for her sake, and Abraham acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, men servants, maid servants, and camels. Now, so the third point was Abraham's failure and God's grace. In spite of Abraham's sin, what did God do? He blessed Abraham. Isn't that amazing? And so that is just the mercy and the grace of God. And so here we have, imagine what Abraham is going through. He's all alone here. Sarah is in Pharaoh's palace. And what must have he been thinking? What was Sarah feeling? You know, and really what Abraham should have done is he should have said, God has made promises to me. He has appeared to me. He said, I will protect you. I will bless you. You know, he should have either stayed in Canaan or he went to Egypt. He should have, you know, told the truth and said, no, she's my wife. Okay, but thankfully we see that in the midst of failure, God intervenes. And that's what God did. Verse 17, But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abraham's wife, Sarah. Okay, so before anything could happen, God intervened and punished Pharaoh and his family with sickness. So Pharaoh summoned Abraham. "What have you done to me?" he said. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." And then Pharaoh gave orders about Abraham to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. Okay? So we see that in the midst of failure and sin, God was still with Abraham. He didn't cancel the agreement. He says, "Abraham, I'm committed to you." Okay. God intervened and set Abraham and Sarah free from Pharaoh's clutches and sent them back home properly. So how can we apply that to our lives? To know that when we do mess up, when we do sin, all right, God will not discard us. That doesn't mean we should continue in the sin. What that means is when we do fail, we need to come back to God, seek forgiveness, and say, "Lord, forgive me, Lord. Come in. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy that is upon our lives." All right. So we've looked at three things in the life of Abraham. God's favor is upon you this morning. Okay. God's amazing. And there are amazing promises that you and I can claim. There's God, Abraham's faith. Yeah, the promises are there, but we need to walk and take hold of them. The question to you is, what is God asking you to let go of this morning? Where is he moving you to? It doesn't mean physically, but what does he want you to get involved in, you know? And what does he want you to do? Abraham, this is what he did. He built an altar to the Lord. Maybe God is saying, "Hey, start praying, start fasting, start evangelizing, you know, spend more time with me." These are the things that count. And thirdly is Abraham's failure and God's grace. In what areas have you failed recently? Yeah, none of us is perfect. We all have failures, but if we fail, we come to God and his grace abounds. Okay, so this is a message of great grace that if this morning you are struggling with something, maybe a sin, okay, maybe you failed God in some way or the other by something you've said, something you've done, okay, God wants you to come to him. His grace is being poured out upon you. Will you come? And he will give you the power to change, and his blessing will be upon you. Amen. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for the example of Abraham. Thank you that we are part of his family. Thank you for the favor that you've shown him. Thank you for his faith. Lord, I pray for each one of us watching this morning that we would grow in our faith. Take steps of faith this morning. We would step into the glorious inheritance you have for us. Lord, I pray for us as we fail and as we sin, that your grace and your mercy would cover us. Oh, Lord, we thank you that your mercy triumphs over judgment. Pour out your grace upon us so that we can overcome every failure and be strong in you like Abraham was. Blessing upon each one here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.